Well, I see where Putnam County was one of 19 counties receiving aid from FEMA for winter storm aid. This was after it was denied originally.
Originally
So
denied.
I assume this was a big surprise and a great help.
I think it's a big surprise. We haven't yet figured out what we might get from it because the way it's been set up, you have to choose what you incurred over a 48-hour period during that storm event. So you have to choose wisely in terms of where you incurred the most unexpected costs. And there are going to be meetings this week, as a matter of fact, at our local EOC to try and have the state help us work through what the issues are. There's going to be so much assigned to each area that has been designated as a county in need of some extra help. So we'll see how that pie gets sliced at the end of the day. But most certainly, there were extra expenses in terms of hours people spent, product that was used, and other groups that had to be called out to help keep the roads open and get us back up and moving again.
Some counties were denied. Why do you think Putnam County was finally given that go-ahead?
You know, I don't know. We weren't told. We were just said, okay, we have now included you into that. It must have been the level of exception of budget that we spent outside of what was anticipated and the accumulation of what we did have over that period of time. I don't remember a time, I certainly have never closed city government for 2 complete days. And so it did have a significant impact on us. And that was in the city as well as in the county. So a little different than usual.
A few projects created by the Stellar Grant are finishing up just in time for spring, I believe. What should people be looking out for as the weather warms up and people start to venture outside?
More construction. I think we can pretty well assure them of that. We're, you know, coming to the end of the first round of facades that include the properties that were hit by the May 17th fire of last year. So we're still completing some work in the downtown right now, and you'll still see the lifts going up and ladders around. We're doing road construction on Indiana Street, which is a complete road rebuild from Washington Street 231 up to the University area on Seminary Street. So that has closed that section of road off completely and really provides a major challenge for our fire department that actually opens onto Indiana Street. So it's a challenge for the construction crews. It's a challenge for the firemen to get out and to be able to answer call. And we've got probably, this is May, we've got 3 more months of that project to look forward to. And hopefully each week as we meet, we work through issues of trash collection, mail delivery to businesses that are still trying to function, again, keeping the fire department open. So it really does, in a small concentrated area, present an awful lot of interesting dilemmas to have to work through. And I think the other thing those of us who are in communities that were built many, many, many years ago find that there are a lot of surprises as you get under the ground, too. We found a significant number of large vaults that have to be filled in order to support the road reconstruction and in order to support the infrastructure we're putting in on top of them. So there have been a lot of surprises, and that, again, makes it a little bit more of a challenge. But aside from those things happening, we're moving on to more phases of the stellar work. Our second phase of facades is being prepared to go out to bids right now. And then once that happens, we'll see more work. We have 11 property owners involved in the second round. So again, we're going to be seeing significant work in the downtown square area for probably another 12 months. That doesn't include second floor lofts, and it doesn't include the IHCDA owner-occupied rehabilitation program for individual homes. And it doesn't include 2 parking lots that are still to be built this year. So construction. And then you add on top of that, you superimpose on that your regular projects that you do, your street overlay projects that are going out to bid, sidewalk and ADA ramps that still need to be done this year. So we're going to keep people on their toes as they try to navigate. Aside from those kinds of regular projects, we've got the splash park that's being built, and they're going to be starting working on that in the next couple of weeks. We had originally hoped for a July 4th beginning on that, but we've done some tweaking. The Civic League, who is helping to sponsor that project along with the Land and Water Conservation Grant, decided to tweak some of the water features because you only get to do that once. And so that's going to push us out just a little bit to get those in and get those connected.
I see where Bedford has begun to sign contracts for development projects for the Stellar Grant they received, although that was last June. Mm-hmm. From your experience with the Stellar Grant, what's the progress like once you received it?
Slow. And it's slow in that you still, regardless of what you believe you are getting to help put infrastructure in the ground, these are federal dollars for the most part, and since they're federal dollars, you still go through the application process the same way that you have to if you're just putting in for a general call for grants. So it takes a good deal of time to work through that process, and so it's wonderful when you've got plans in hand, but you still have to make your way and have environmental checks done and have your plans approved depending on whose project it is and where the funding source is. And then, of course, you have to have the local funding in place to make it happen. We were awarded in 2011. We're still in process of putting together our program and plans. And I think the other thing that's happened is Stellar's changed. It's changed from when it was first given to us in 2011 as a grant. It was a Stellar Community Grant. And now they're calling them a Stellar designation. So as federal funding to the state changes along the way, how the program is outlined and how the program is implemented has been changed to be creating more of a partnership between the funding agencies and the communities to decide what in their project, what in their application can be funded, and how is that going to be funded. So there have been some nuances that have been created out of necessity, and again, because of funding sources. Mm-hmm. It remains a wonderful opportunity, but it doesn't come without a lot of work on the part of the individual communities and the many engineers and contractors and grant administrators that are required and are involved and very necessary to get into that execution phase.
Are there deadlines within the Stellar Grant?
There are deadlines depending on the funding sources. Once you're allocated a certain number of dollars, so say if it's from Office of Community and Rural Affairs to do facades, once the contract is signed, you have technically 18 months to finish it off. The same thing happens with Department of Transportation projects. You know, some of those contracts are actually, we have the construction team has, who was awarded because of low bid, has their contract is with the Department of Transportation. The firm who does the engineering construction is contracted with the city. So you've got different timelines coming from different areas. Our NDOT grants don't actually close out for, it can be up to 2 years after the project is finished. So again, it depends on the funding source, and it really is dependent on how many different parties are involved. But they would like, originally, Stellar was supposed to be wrapped up in 3 years. I think they've realized that that was aggressive and probably not possible to have that many projects going on simultaneously. So they've been very flexible with us, and I think they're going to be pushing that deadline out to 4 and 5 years from what I understand.
New event in Greencastle, First Fridays?
First Fridays,
yeah,
yes.
What's that?
Yes, we had a Arts Council that had started up a couple of years ago who had initiated the First Friday concept, and that went well for a period of time, but I think it was probably more than a small group of volunteers could sustain on an ongoing basis. So there's been an interest in it, and it really got peaked again a few weeks ago when Gail Smith, who's the owner of Almost Home Restaurant and the Swizzle Stick, said, you know what, I'm going to put myself out there. Gail does a wonderful music event. She's done it for the last few years, and it's called the Greencastle Summer Music Fest in August. And she thought, well, what if I do something on Friday night? I'll be responsible for the entertainment. I'll come to the city council and ask for road closure, and then we'll see who else partakes. And so she had it last Friday night. It was a little chillier than we would have liked. We had a wonderful young band called the Lemon Brothers who came in from Terre Haute. We had a pop-up shop happening a couple doors down from her restaurant that had some wonderful artisans who brought their wares and were open Friday night and into Saturday. We had other people who gave specials at different places throughout the downtown. as the First Friday support, whether it's a dinner, a special dinner. The market across the street had brats for $4, homemade brats. $4 for $4. So there were a whole variety of things and people who jumped on board. So this past Friday was the first one, and she's going to continue this every Friday through October on that first Friday night, bringing the bands in and then offering opportunities for people to participate and come and enjoy the downtown. The idea is to bring families down, and you know, not just folks who might typically come down for dinner on a Friday night, but people who just want to see some great entertainment and browse some of our shops and take advantage of specials.
And I assume the community farmers market is another instance of bringing people downtown.
It is. The whole slogan we've used at that is meet at the market, and it's worked beautifully for us. We opened again this Saturday, kind of limited on some of the produce that was available because of the spring we've had, but we had a wonderful cross-section of vendors. We had an opportunity to talk a little bit about youth art and how we can promote that. So there's a lot of interest in that topic. And there was a project, a flower box project, to kind of help people create something that could actually go into downtown window boxes throughout the downtown. So we had a lot of different things going on, some live entertainment again. And that's going to be going on through the end of October. So that's Saturday mornings from 8 until noon on the downtown square. And we close the streets off again so people can have easy access and can have an opportunity not just to get some wonderful food, produce, and the work of some of our craftsmen, but to be able to meet their neighbors that they might not have seen this long winter.
I see where it's hard to believe commencement is coming up for colleges, universities. Students will be facing that job market soon. What, in your opinion, do they need to know? What are their top priorities as they start to venture out?
As they start to venture out, I think their top priorities hopefully have been to find their passion while they've been in school, to find their passion, to connect with the wonderful resources that I know we have available through the university and alumni folks who are very, very willing to help out and engage and find opportunities for the DePaul graduates that are coming out. Ivy Tech works diligently to try and identify areas that can be filled by their new graduates coming out of their programs. I think what we have to do is come up with ways to further help them understand the opportunities that are out and available beyond the confines of where they've been. I think there's trepidation. I think the people who have jobs already are delighted and kind of worried about what the next steps are. But again, I think the university and Ivy Tech do a wonderful job acting as a resource and acting as a point of connection. The DePaul graduation is coming up just 2 weeks from yesterday. So they're into studying, they're into getting ready to say goodbye to their friends and move on to the next phase. But I think, as we all remember, that you just don't quite know what's around the next corner. And I think some of the beauty of where people are now is that aren't there predictions that people graduating now from schools are going to have about 10 different jobs in their career life, and three of which are in fields that don't even exist right now. So the world is changing at such a pace that it's going to be exciting. Hopefully they find themselves confident and well-prepared and ready to be receptive to what's out there for them.
So what's changing in the workforce in Greencastle?
Wow. I think as it's changing everywhere, I've been just marveling at this whole makers movement that's been around longer than I knew about, and what it means for what's going to happen to our economies as we move forward, and the kinds of opportunities that come with the ability to make things ourselves again and to not have to outsource large quantities of prototypes and manufacturing goods, but to be able to deal directly because of the opportunities we have through the internet and 3D printers and CNC machines. I mean, there's just so much that has developed. And our culture, I guess, now has become much more receptive to that. So what we need, our local career center is trying to provide. We need welders. We need people who know about robotics. We need people who know about engineering. We need people who have really some general background in a variety of areas. And we need to start preparing them as high school students to start engaging in a much more technical manufacturing opportunity that is now coming to the forefront, where more and more is being done by machines, more is being done internally than just being outsourced. And so we need a trained group of folks who can step right in and be receptive and have the basics in place to understand what that means. So I think we're going to see a lot more happening on the high school level. We're having a lot of wonderful conversations with Ivy Tech and how their adult program can work cooperatively with our Area 30 Career Center and maybe provide some of those things that you find in fab labs and other areas. That cost of equipment makes it prohibitive to have lots of those opportunities, but if we can find ways to share equipment and share knowledge and share instructors and share credits, that we'll have a workforce that can better answer our local needs here.
You've spoken for rural cities, rural Indiana, rural America before. What would you say to these recent grads about, hey, there are jobs, there are things to do in places like Greencastle?
You know, we talk about that frequently, and we talk about where that time niche is for folks. I think a lot of times people have to go away to come back. For somebody 22 to 24 years old, 18 to 24, who's just graduating, whether it be from a vocational program at our high schools, at our career center, whether it be from college or university, there's kind of an adventure in being out and seeing a bit more of the world. We seem to do very, very well when people are at a point in time where they're wanting to bring a family back and they're wanting to raise a family, and encouraging them to look at us maybe 2 to 5 years down the road, maybe 10 years down the road. Because again, I think sometimes you have to go away to appreciate what has been here. I think as rural communities, we have to make sure that we can provide the educational opportunities for elementary school children, middle school children, high school children. We need to provide a quality of life that's enticing to people, whether that's through the recreational opportunities we can avail, that they can avail themselves of, whether it's through the arts, whether it's through opportunities for civic engagement. We have to make it a place where people can follow their passions and really make a difference and do that more easily. Because I think when you look at a community of 10,000 versus a community of 100,000, you know, if I've always dreamed of being able to be a soccer coach, you know, I might have a chance to do that here with the youth league. It gets a little harder to do in another place, or to be involved in government in some way, or to open a small shop. I think we have to promote ourselves, and we have to do a regular job of promoting the quality of life, the safety of the quality of life that we have here, and the amenities, and that we're not isolated, that rural Indiana does have accessibility because of our road systems to large metropolitan areas, if you choose to take advantage.
What's priority number one right now for you in the mayor's office? What's going on right now in May?
To finish my projects. I really have to finish my stellar projects. The state will be here next week, Tuesday. They come quarterly, and they want to know what's happening. How is their money being spent? Show us the tangible signs that we made a good investment in you. What is the spinoff on what's happening? So we have to be very attentive to how we're moving that schedule and making sure that we're keeping pace with what we need to do. The real challenge now that we start finishing those things is you've got to fill the buildings. And so when we have empty storefronts, now that they're lovely, you know, what's going to happen now? And we're working hand in hand, not only with our new Main Street organization, but with the Greencastle Putnam County Development Center, to come up with marketing pieces for the individual pieces of property, talking about square footage, cost of rent, who are the utilities, what is it like inside, would the owner pay for any kind of remodeling, would the tenant have to pay and that be included in the rent. So we're trying to be very proactive in filling those things now. So most certainly what we needed to do and the pressing needs that we have is to not only finish the stellar projects, but put an infrastructure in place that's going to take advantage of that. So it's going to fill the buildings, it's going to complete some of the projects we had wrapped up into Stellar that hadn't been funded by Stellar, like a trail that we want to have go out and connect past our industrial park area, to talk about what we can do to increase recreational access at our sports park, to put the finishing touches on some of the things that I think will definitely have an impact on quality of life and bringing people back to rural areas to enjoy.